You're listening to the Diener Show podcast. Check out Drew weekdays from 7 until 10 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Billy Reed.
Well, we're here. We're on the backside. Hopefully that hiss will subside here momentarily. We got the crew. We're three wide. Brandon Lang in the house. Billy Reed, of course, all week. And we're proud to report, Billy, we're not hungover like we were last year. Can you confirm that, Brandon?
I'll tell you what, Billy. First of all, my little munchkin back in Jacksonville, Ireland Jade, she's a little under the weather, so let's give her a little shout-out. Honey, feel better. Daddy's sober this year. It's very important. You would be very happy that Daddy was very responsible. I guess I should say I babysit Drew last night, and I kept my little brother in shape. So we're good. I mean, listen. What a difference a year makes, Billy. It was a lot colder last year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And rain's holding off, but it's just to have your wits about you. It's going to be a
yeah,
good
it's going to be better.
Show.
It's going
to
be good.
So what did you have to do to rein him in? Was he trying to dance on tabletops, or what was the deal?
Well, Todd Underhill took us out to dinner, and we were going to go by the jockey party like we did last year. That was the audible.
Yes, that was the mistake last year that resulted in what you witnessed last Thursday, last Derby year.
I see.
That was Billy Reed Day, right?
Last
Thursday?
It was, yes.
So this is 1 year anniversary.
All-time favorite experiences. I'll always cherish that.
That is cool.
Glad to be part of it because my first Derby last year.
Yes.
So meeting you was a pleasure and learn a little bit about
you.
Your background.
Same to you, Brandon. I watched your movie, just an outstanding movie. If you care anything at all about gambling,
which everybody out here does, checked.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was a, you know, the scene that I always tell people is the Gamblers Anonymous scene. The dialogue that Dan wrote in that scene where Al Pacino's talking about how you feel. You feel a certain way when you're winning, but when your back's against the wall and your chips are down and you're on your heels and you're fighting back, that's the vig, that's the juice. That scene's incredible. They get thrown out of the Gamblers Anonymous meeting.
I wonder if you want to talk about gambling rushes. Seeing a horse that you own or have part of winning the Kentucky Derby, or how does that compare, I wonder, with a car, if you win a big pot of cards, or if you win a big bet on the NFL or something. I
think it's different. I think
this is special.
I think it's totally different because I think it's the one thing in people that are in this sport, they've done well for themselves, to say the least. If they're invested in the poor thoroughbred racing, they've done well. But the one thing they cannot buy with any money and guarantee any success with is a winning horse. You know,
yeah.
And I think that's the feeling. That's the reason that people that have a lot of money are willing to lose a lot of money for that feeling. That I mean, even you know, if you own one tenth of a horse, that rush when your horse gets to the finish line is not like unlike anything else.
Well, that rush.
Yeah.
Now, I'm happy to report that last year, Drew buried me. You could have gave him the racing form results the day before. He could have had the results, Billy, and the winner the day before and still figured out a way to lose.
Screwed it up. We couldn't cash a ticket all last year. But the official handicapper of ESP in Louisville yesterday, Mr. Glasscock, had a excellent day.
Oh, Billy. We're the winners.
Were you all part of it?
Oh, yeah.
Jumped
well, no wonder
up.
You're
not to the level that he did, but
yeah, I understand.
Brandon was up there when we were at the ad day yesterday, and he had not placed a wager. And I'm like, you're betting on the 7 horse here. You're putting $5 at least on a 7 horse here. And the 7 horse at 9-1, won at the wire. Unfortunately, Brandon thought he had the 5, so he didn't get the rush.
I'm cheering for the 5 the whole way.
So you didn't get that rush at the finish line.
And all of a sudden, Drew walks up and says, how about that? I go, what do you mean? 5 loss. He goes, you didn't have the 5.
You had the 9.
But
our luck's turning this year on the track.
But I've been fortunate enough over the years. I was with Billy Turner when he won the Derby of Seattle Slough, and Woody Stevens when he won it with Swale, and Wayne Lucas when he won it with Winning Colors. And when they know they're going to win it, it's just like
that feeling. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I can't imagine how great that. But I remember what he's saying. He's home, Bill. He's home. You know.
Well, as you know, sports handicapper, that feeling is the same.
Yeah.
Especially with the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl this year having New England.
And the over.
That feeling when you know they're going to win, when New England had come all the way back and tied it at 28 and it's going to overtime, I knew I was going to win when they won the coin toss.
Yeah.
I didn't need – it's like he pulls away. Yeah. You knew if Brady got the ball first in overtime,
yeah,
they were going to score a touchdown at that point.
Sure.
And I was at an Atlanta Super Bowl party, meaning there was more Atlanta fans there than the New England fans there. And after being down the whole game, they're celebrating the whole game, to come back, tie it. When it got to the coin toss, I ran into the living room where there's 25 Atlanta people, and I yelled at the top of my lungs, "This is the biggest coin toss of your entire life. Whatever God you believe in, Elijah Muhammad, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, you better pray that you win this coin toss, because if you don't, it's over." Patriots call heads. "You need tails. You need tails." The coin goes up. Hits heads. I chill with my voice. Winner! 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 And then they went down and scored. So,
well, I bet that made you real popular.
Listen, didn't matter at that point. But that's the rush of winning. For me, being here and just watching the races and seeing how – it's one thing to watch it on TV, but the raw emotion of what everyone feels and what everyone's cheering for. And with Let It Ride, which we talked about last year, is one of my favorite movies, to see it here and then – to have the Derby, the main race run, and the way people react, to me, that's just as much fun as...
Well, you know, it's like in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady's life wasn't going to really change one way or another.
No.
But here, within 2 minutes,
so
many people's lives change forever.
That's a great point, Billy.
And that's just a part of it that fascinates me.
Yeah, no, that definitely the way... That's why I ask everybody we've had on has won the Derby, how's it changed your life? And they all sort of struggle with it, but they know that something's definitely different once they've done it. So we're out here this morning. I expect to see Kenny Rice here at some point from NBC Sports. He's been confirming it. You know, 2 weeks out, he said he was going to be here with us. We're going to hopefully talk with Ian Wilkes. Right?
Ian is supposed to come join us in the 9 to 10 hour. We have lines in the water trying to hook.
That's right.
Steve Asmussen and Dale Romans, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the weather starting to rain a little bit out here this morning, so it's it's been predicted. It's held off pretty well for 2 days here, but I think we're going to see a lot of rain over the next 48 hours. But Derby Day, I've been reading Kevin Harnett's blog, like it's the daily racing form the last couple of days, just to keep up. It looks like Derby's going to be okay for the most part. At least that's what I'm hoping. We have tried to appeal to Mother Nature's better.
Yes, we still are.
Try to be nice. You can't bully Mother Nature. That was my mistake out of the gate the other day.
That's right. We had to call you on that.
Yes, so that wasn't going to work quite as well. So we were over the post position draw yesterday. Nothing really of note, I guess. It looked interesting for a while, though, as the numbers were getting down, that Classic Empire, that one hole was open. And it's like, oh, no. Don't stick the favorite right there on the rail.
Yeah.
Don't put him on the rail. And then he didn't. But Battaglia, true to his word on this show, made him a 4-1 morning line favorite.
We ought to replay that. We got the total the scoop on that.
2 hours early.
Two hours early, absolutely.
Now, when they is it just random what position they get?
When you were there yesterday, so they draw out a number, and then they draw out a name. So if they draw number three, then they go Classic Empire, then boom, he goes to the three hole.
Got you. Okay.
It's the fairest way to do it.
Yeah.
And they got away from that for a number of years.
They tried to have a draft with it.
I agree with Mike. I am so happy they went back to the traditional way because it's the best way. And you know, a horse I like in here, Brandon, as a long shot, Looking at Lee. And he drew the one. But his jockey, Corey Lannery, is really good here at Churchill Downs. And I think they're definitely going to take him back. I don't think that's going to hurt him much. And I just really think all of them, I don't think anybody is going to have an excuse unless there's a bad break.
Yeah.
If there's a position that favors What position do you want? Or are you looking for?
In terms of breaking from the gate, yep. I would say, Billy, anywhere between like six to six on out, really.
Yeah, five to 15.
Yeah.
Okay. Idea.
Yeah.
With the two starting gates, you have a gap. 14 horses, gap, second starting gate. So a lot of people like to draw right next to that gap because it gives them a little bit more room when they come out of the gate.
Okay. Which Classic Empire got. He got the 14, so he couldn't. It couldn't have gone better for Classic Empire in terms of where he ended up getting. He's staring at maybe being the one. He gets the 14. He's going to be the favorite. I still don't think it's going to be as prohibitive as 4-1. I think he's going to be more like 9-2, 5-1. I'm very anxious to see how the betting public goes on these horses. I mean, Battaglia said, he was quoted afterwards saying that it was the easiest job of setting the first four or five choices that he's ever done, which I agree with. I think it's a concentrated group. I don't think there are 15 horses that can win this race. I think there are six.
And
five or six.
Mike doesn't make anybody above 50-1, but some of them are going to be above 50-1. The horse that really intrigues me is the horse from Dubai. You know, he hasn't run over here, but he has run almost a mile and a quarter. He won the United Arab Emirates Derby, and the Sheiks, the Arab Oil Sheiks, are going to win one of these years. And I just wonder if this might be the one. It's, who knows? Thunder Snow is his name.
There's so much money over there. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, it's obviously a different world.
My friends that have gone to Dubai and they just talk about a city of gold.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
You're not supposed to drink and gamble at the track, but everybody finds a way to do it. It seems like that's the word. You know, we were at dinner last night. It was also part. You left Furniture John out of that being.
Yeah,
nice
sorry, John.
Yeah, come on now.
Whose wife, Furniture John, whose wife started off the day. He comes over to pick me up to come meet you with a Bloody Mary.
That
was the size of the city of Louisville. It was literally like drinking a gallon, like the weightlifters at the gym that carry around the gallon water.
Yes.
It was about that big.
But was it good?
Still, it was phenomenal. You know me and Bloody Marys in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to you here. I wanted to play this sound pretty early on here of Charlie Strong getting scolded by a judge. Charlie, of course, who, you know, was here and then went to Texas, and I think maybe people don't even realize where he landed at South Florida. I mean, a lot of our listeners probably do. But he's at South Florida. They had a second player arrested. And so this judge, who is apparently a South Florida alum, you know, of the school, decides to take it upon herself to, you know, add some commentary on this. You don't normally get this with the judge. I mean, usually they give her rulings, not opinions on what should go on a football field. But she, it's not working on my laptop, so I'm going to play it from my phone here, decided to jump in. Billy, you heard this. I haven't
heard it yet, so I'm actually excited to.
I think it's great. To hear
it and comment on it.
I think that's, she laid down the gauntlet to him, man. He better keep those guys under control.
Okay, so here is this judge down there, she's, I guess, over the second player who had been arrested.
Let's just say my USF is not proudly hanging in my office right now. And I have a message for your coach as well. Coach Strong, if you are listening, in the last couple of months, there have been two arrests of your players for very violent felonies. This court, and I'm sure I'm not alone, questions whether you have control over your players. It's fairly clear that you do not have control of them off the field, and I guess only time will tell whether you have control over them on the field. I would implore you to think long and hard about whether being head coach at USF is a good fit for you before any other members of this community have to suffer at the hands of one of the players.
Now, I don't know much about the legal profession, but I haven't heard a judge offer sports commentary from the bench in a long time.
That last part is where she probably went over the line. I don't know if USF is going to be a good fit for you. That's a judgment.
Yeah.
That is really,
yeah, she's ready to fire him, man. He didn't coach the game yet.
Yeah.
Brandon?
Now, the only thing I've seen close to that is if you saw O.J. Made in America.
Yes, very
which
good.
Was, without question, one of the most phenomenal things I've ever seen in my life. when the judge in Vegas went to sentence him. If you watch it, she sets down. OJ makes his plea. I've been coming to Vegas with my family. You're trying to soften her. And she literally reaches over before she's about to sentence him. And like a big gulp soda from 7-Eleven, she takes her big gulp. She goes, okay, like as nonchalant and as natural as it can be, and brought down the hammer. And I just thought it was hilarious that she's drinking a – this is a circuit judge drinking a big gulp at the in Vegas and sentence him.
Getting ready to put him away for
a while. I think it's phenomenal that she's not – she wasn't afraid to do it.
Yep.
Holding these coaches accountable because, as we're talking off the air.
Well, she said whatever these two arrests involved, they were very violent, she said.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got – he was arrested earlier this week on charges of sexual battery and false imprisonment. I mean, these are serious – serious crimes.
So good for her, I say.
Yep. And again, as we talked off air, this is a very sensitive subject in our social climate with college kids and women.
Yes.
Starting with Ray Rice. Mixon.
Yep.
Here we are. So
I just wonder, though, with Charlie, I would think that would be a very good fit for him because he does not like the spotlight. He does not like the limelight. But he does know how to recruit Florida, and particularly South Florida, even though the University of South Florida is actually in Central Florida. I wonder where his landing spot will be. Coaches that, have been here and left, it's not like they went on to greatness afterwards.
That's
you
right.
know, I mean, they left and, John L. went to, I love him. He's my guy to show with him, but he's at Kentucky State now.
But I think
Howard Schnellenberger, as well had, not nearly this, success.
I think Brandon makes a great point. I think that this abuse of women on campus by athletes has just gotten to the point where it's about time that a lot of people put their foot down because it is totally unacceptable. I think she was putting him on notice right away.
I agree. Listen, my dad battered my mom, so I'm right there with you. Any man that puts his hands on a female, there's no excuse. It takes more of a man to walk away than to do anything or engage yourself in that. But these college athletes that 18, 19 years old, drinking alcohol, first time away from home, they're putting themselves in a position that they don't care. But then that goes back to the AAU programs that these kids are so coddled and they're so taken care of and they're so enabled by their AAU coaches and everything starting. I said this last year. I've said this on your show, Drew. Fifth graders getting full ride scholarship offers. Julian Strother, who remember that name, my boy Lee Strother's son Julian, he's going to be a 10th grader this year, 6'7", 190, already been offered UNLV, Creighton, Florida State. He hasn't even played 10th grade yet. So they're so coddled when they get into college that they have this.
And these adults around them who when they do something that they shouldn't, something serious, to cover it up.
Absolutely.
To teach them to cover because you're special.
Yep.
You're special because you can run fast or you can
But
jump
now that's
out.
Not the case here. This one hasn't been covered up. This one's out in the open
right here.
This is one that is at least that. And to Charlie Strong's core values. I mean, one of them, and it was, how people treat women. I mean, that was his five, I don't remember his five core values, whatever he had written up on there. But for Charlie, this is, in fairness, these aren't players he recruited. These are the players he inherited. But now it's going to be, what's he going to do with them? How is he going to deal with this? And that will be the next step for him here to see what he does. I think he'll have success there, but I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Coaches to get to the top and get fired, they don't bounce. I mean, maybe I'm forgetting someone along the way, but not, that's generally not the career arc here.
That's a good launching ground, though, South Florida, for coaches. It's a good spot.
Right, but he's going down.
I know.
On the way up. Like Willie Taggart bounced and went to Oregon, where he's had so many seats out there before he's coached a game.
Yeah, I tell you what, sometimes in life you got to take a step back before you get too forward. Maybe it's a good move for Charlie. Had to start off good. Based on the judge.
I was going to say the judge scolding him.
Just scolding him.
Is one of those. So.
Well, I just wonder, too, sometimes, would it have been better for him to take a year off after everything happened in Texas and then just see, because there's going to be good jobs open every year.
That's a great point.
Or did he just take this one because it happened to be open now and he did not want to get out of coaching? He wanted that continuum.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, he knew Willie Taggart from his days, you know, down here at Western Kentucky. When he left, maybe he, you know, he probably counseled him what he thought of the job. I mean, I would assume that they had conversations, you know, about it, and probably told him it's a good landing spot for him. Like, obviously, Taggart had success there. So,
or another move is, if you want to go right back into coaching, don't step into a situation where, as you just said, some of these kids weren't his kids that he recruited. It's always kind of an iffy situation as a coach. You got what players you inherited and the character that they have. Maybe if you wanted to coach right away, go to a big university, be the defensive coordinator. Go back to your roots. Just you know what? Go be a defense coordinator for a year. And then, as you said, Billy, another job opened up. Now you step back up and go boom. As Drew said, that is a step down. You inherited some shady characters, and now you're in hot water again right out of the box.
If I were Charlie, I would not want to put myself in a program where I really didn't have a good chance to win.
Yeah.
Because after what happened to Texas, his next head coaching job ought to be one where he's got a much better chance to succeed. And I don't know if this is the one.
I think it is, because he knows that state so well. He recruited so long when he was at UF. He got so many players from down there to come to Louisville. But, again, you don't know what kind of staff he's put together. You don't know what kind of team this may be. He may have to kick 7-8 guys off the team if he's got a locker room full of knuckleheads like this. So, I mean, I think that's his reaction will now be how everything is judged. I assume, especially now with publicity of this, that he'll probably
got to bring the hammer.
Yeah. Let's go to, we get a couple calls. Kevin and Birdhead Ryan are on. When I got a line. Kevin, welcome in out to the backside of Churchill Downs with Billy and Brandon Lang. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Drew. How you doing?
Going on, Kevin?
I would just say, number one, it's not a guarantee that this wouldn't be a place that Charlie wouldn't be successful. I mean, Willie Taggart did a pretty good job. That's why he got the Oregon job. So if you got those players, but that's besides the point. Going to the judge part, it's a little bit of grandstanding on her part, especially considering it's just accusations. I mean, we, of all people, and especially in this community, should realize that, you know, accusations don't always mean guilt. I mean, a la Chris Jones a couple years ago, you know. So,
right.
I mean, so for her to be on there and tell that she's ashamed to be a South Florida alum and give Charlie Strong a message that he can't control his players, well, they're grown men, you know, and they should be able to know that, you know, raping and imprisoning somebody is wrong, whether they're coaches there or not. So that's not Charlie's fault. That's that grown man's fault. So for her to do that on the bench at an arraignment and not at an actual sentencing is, like, a stretch.
Well, yeah, you're right. That's interesting. It's the stage in the process, because this was just a hearing after the arrest last week. I mean, that's Kevin, I think that's a fair point. That this wasn't, here's the jury. The jury has come back with a guilty verdict, and now I'm going to add my commentary. She's added the commentary before there's
good
been
point.
A trial.
That's a good
it's
point.
A hearing for the trial.
Well, I would like to read. I'd like to know exactly what the alleged crimes were and how severe they were.
Well,
because there's
they say it's rape.
Well, there's knucklehead, like what Jalen Johnson did was knucklehead.
Just stupid, yeah.
But this is a crime. This is
well,
a
potentially.
And,
it's an accusation, though.
And well, yes, but yeah. Well.
I mean, until he's guilty. I mean, there's a chance that he's not guilty.
But
I mean, you have to. That's what our whole judicial system is based upon.
Well, I get that, but based on what happened at Baylor and the cover up at Baylor,
yeah.
Our society, judges, the court, is so sensitive right now to this issue that...
As it well should be.
As it should be. We should also be concerned with guilty or not guilty, too.
I agree. I'm not arguing that point, but I'm saying this is such a sensitive issue. People are going to jump the gun with it. They just are. It has gotten out of hand, especially at the collegiate athletic level with the campus rapes, so on and so forth. So, rush to judgment... You better believe there's going to be a rush to judgment with this issue.
And I would guess the judge has seen evidence, photographs, et cetera, that...
I'd like to talk to a lawyer, that somebody... We have Keith Pointer, our legal expert, is actually going to be hosting this afternoon. If you're his attorney, I mean, I would think you could move to get a new... If the judge is already offering commentary before you've had a trial,
true.
I would want to know what my rights were. Or
Charlie's
for my
not
client.
Charged with anything.
No, I'm not talking about Charlie. I'm talking about the guy. I'm
right.
talking about the guy on the team. If the judge, before there's been any sort of real trial, is offering commentary on it, that seems to pollute the waters. I'd want a different judge.
We're talking about a lot of things we really don't know. We don't know what the evidence is.
Yeah.
We don't know that kind of stuff. But I would say that for her to do that, she's seen the evidence. And
so much for justice is blind, though. Yeah. Justice has been to vision work. She's got contacts, glasses. She's seen everything. Or she's making the judgments beforehand. Let's go to Bert Hinn Ryan up next. 93 on the Ville, ESPN 680s. We're back here on the backside of Churchill Downs on Thurby Day. Bert Hinn Ryan, good morning.
Morning, guys. I'm glad to have you in town, Brandon. Thanks for stopping by my tailgate spot and getting a vodka cranberry there football game. Appreciate that.
Tito's I Club Soda Splash a Cran.
Yes, there you go.
That's right. At Tito's, definitely Tito's.
Great tailgate, by the way.
I think I met
your wife too. Your wife was there, right?
You did. You met my
guy's memory is unbelievable. Lang's memory is we saw people yesterday. And I'm like, well, that's he goes, yeah, I know that we saw them. You know, at 6:42 on the night of that Duke game. I'm like, God, you're right.
I remember you outkicked your coverage with your wife. She's hot.
yes, absolutely. I want to make a comment about Charlie Strong, and then I actually want to give you a tip on a pony for Saturday, Brandon.
Well,
you know, was this judge upset back in January in 2010 when is it Jim Levitt, slapped a player for South Florida? I mean, was she upset and was she embarrassed to be a South Florida fan then?
I just think
that it's a rush to judgment to say what she said at a hearing. I completely agree that this is a highly sensitive subject in college, but I just think she overstepped her boundaries in the comments that she made. And it's kind of unfair to Charlie. He already kicked off the first player who was involved in a shooting, who got shot back at somebody. They arrested him in the hospital. He kicked that player off the team. He suspended this player indefinitely. I mean, at some point, I don't know if Charlie's going to say anything or not, but I just feel like she kind of jumped the gun in her comments. But I agree that it is a sensitive subject, and at some point somebody's got to make a stand, and she did.
Hey, Bert and Ryan, we appreciate the call. As things happen out here, they are fluid, and we're pleased to be joined by the mayor of City Louisville. Happy Thurby Day, Mr. Fisher.
Well, it's always great, no matter what the weather is, and it's not so bad out here.
No, it's good. Yeah, it's
now tell me
clear up, right?
Tell me you're out here to renew this again as Billy Reid Day number two.
As we do.
I'm coming over here to pay homage to Billy Reid. Your listeners may recall that last year we had a huge gathering here to celebrate the career of Billy Reid, which is really just in its prime right now.
That's
nowhere
right.
Near
that's right.
So I want to come back again and remind everybody of that.
Thank you,
thank you for
thank
everything
you
you've
much.
Done and will do, Billy Reid.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Now, what's your Thurby Day consist of here?
Well, starting off back here, kind of helping with a little local color and doing some media, and then we've got the lunch this afternoon, and then we got the parade today, and then multiple events this evening. So the key for me right now is rest and hydration, proper amounts.
That's good advice for everybody around.
Amen.
Hydrate
Amen.
Early and often. So, but, do you have people, do you bring in, like, other political people from out of town? Like, I mean, this is such a great showcase for the city. I'm curious how you take advantage.
Well, the focus is on economic development prospects. So we've got 25 people coming in that either have jobs in the city and can grow them, or folks that are looking at moving their businesses here. So it's been really successful for us in the past. I mean, there's no show like the Kentucky Derby. And, people, if you haven't experienced the Derby, people come in and are just blown away by the scale.
This is him. Last year was his first one. Brandon
Look
Lang.
At you now.
It was the most, and I've said this multiple times, Mr. Mayor, most incredible experience of my life. It just, you couldn't hit the nail on the head. Blown away at just how the city embraces you, the people embrace you. Come down to Churchill Downs, everybody's happy. It was on my bucket list, probably top three.
And this is a guy whose life has been based on gambling. A movie was made about him. Matthew McConaughey portrayed him. And even he, with those crazy experiences, says, the Derby.
Yeah. Well, you're a lot better looking than Matthew McConaughey, so you should have been in that movie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
But, 150,000 people here on Saturday getting in out here. What's interesting about this, I think, it's kind of one of the only big sporting events where it's kind of half men, half women. So I call it the world's biggest fashion show. So it kind of takes on an aura beyond sports, leading to the biggest celebration of humanity, I think, that ever comes together. It's our rite of spring here in America.
Yeah.
So, and it gets bigger and better every year.
Now, when you've got people in, and we had somebody on from the Omni yesterday, you know, that's going to be open this time of year from now. Are you showing them those types of things like, hey, this is what it is now, but look at what all we're building
absolutely. Now? Absolutely. And, of course, our city right now, the momentum here is incredible. We've got $10 billion of capital construction going on. So next year the city's going to look very different than what it looks right now. So we've got a lot going on in the city. And the Derby kind of is that exclamation point that allows us to bring people in from all over the world so they experience this and the city. So it's really good for the business of the city.
You know, Mayor, you're talking about politics in the Derby. A few years ago, our friend Charlie Owen hosted a bunch of Democratic governors from around the nation, and he asked me to come over and speak to him, which I was Bill Richardson from New Mexico and several of them. And the lady I took with me, I'll never forget, she came up to one guy and she said, "And what are you doing?" He said, "I'm running for president." Well, you know. But I really enjoyed that. And there had to be 10 or 12 of them there. And that was just a really memorable occasion for me.
Well,
to
you never know who you're going to run into. And
there's all kinds of deals being made here and stuff going on.
Everybody turns into a kid when they come to the track for the first time.
I was just going to say, I never had been to Louisville before I started doing Drew's show. And I came to the city for the first time. And I will tell you, Louisville, Kentucky is one of the biggest hidden gems from a city standpoint in the country. And I've lived in all your major cities, New York, L.A., Miami. This city's incredible. And the people that live here, they know what a gem they have. The rest of America doesn't know.
Well, unfortunately, we're starting to grow a little bit more now, which is good. We want the right kind of growth.
Yep.
Here, but because it creates opportunities for folks. So we're kind of in this new generation growth of a breakout city, which we appreciate here, and nothing brings it together. Like, you're right. This is on everybody's global bucket list. So it's a heck of a weekend for
us. I stay at Drew's house, and, like, two brothers in college, and it's
you don't need to know details about what goes on.
It looks
there,
like
I
your
promise.
Statute of limitations. We need to like make it a week.
Well, I tell you what, days. Mr. Mayor, last year you probably don't remember. We were pretty wrecked from the jockey party. This year, you'll be happy to know we were very responsible adults. We're very awake.
Support the local restaurants and businesses.
Well,
you know.
Shows that you can learn.
Yes.
We spot rookies. We're veterans.
That's
here,
right.
Rookies are crashing and burning on Thursday night. I mean,
that's
this
right.
is a marathon.
You're right. Burning speed.
Mr. Mayor, I did not pace myself well for my first Derby. I made all the mistakes that the first Derby. You know, when you get your cherry and it's your first, you don't know how to pace yourself.
Yeah. We don't even have a 5-furlong race, do we? We see something.
I don't think so. 4.5-furlong.
That's right.
I'm
glad you're back because it does take practice to get in the flow.
It does. I mean,
really, you want to be here like, you know, like you're just kind of floating on a cloud throughout the whole week and taking it all in.
Yep.
Deep breathing, meditative exercises. Yep. That's how you really enjoy the whole experience.
What is the economic impact on the city? Is there a number? Is there
I was
nice,
wondering
nice
about
round
that too.
Number on
yeah,
that?
It's about $250 million or so.
Jeez, for the week.
Now, that's what we know about. Think about all the cash that's going around.
Oh, sure.
The Airbnb and all that. I mean all the
Airbnb
the houses.
Grows every year quite a bit. I think I saw yesterday it's about $5 million there. But total economic impact official is about $250 million.
Wow,
you bring up a question. I have to ask you this, too. We had the governor on Monday, and Drew asked him about the future of expanded gaming, and he basically said there is none. What I don't get is why they can't pass it on the basis of a local option, just like we do alcohol, wet, dry counties. Because if we had a world-class casino here in Louisville at either Churchill or downtown, my Lord, the money that thing would generate, it's to me it would be low-hanging fruit.
Well, and the irony, of course, is they just drive 15 minutes across the river
exactly.
and spend the money over there.
Exactly.
Well, we've got a revenue problem here in Kentucky.
Yes.
You know, people are going to gamble whether you want them to or not.
Okay? Yes.
So why don't we turn that into something that helps our state?
I think the one across the river would close down if we got something over here.
Very thankful we don't have
here.
I mean, how far away? Is there just no shot in the foreseeable future? I mean, you know the political landscape better than we do. I mean, is it just...
Well, the governor obviously has a feel for that. We have a Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican governor. Some of them are for it, some of them are against it. And with the Democratic governor, Democratic House, they struggled to get it in as well. I don't get it. I mean, we're surrounded by
local option. What is, if they don't want it in rural Kentucky, that's fine.
Right.
But if we want it in Louisville or if they want it in Newport, why not?
Well, I agree. And as you know, we've got a tax reform coming up. We've got a pension problem in the state.
Oh,
they're looking
yeah.
for revenue.
Yes.
This is what you said, really identifiable source.
Well, I went to Pittsburgh for the first time, and what amazed me about is where the stadiums are.
Yeah.
The baseball stadium, Heinz Field, and
hockey rink.
Hockey rink, and then literally half a mile away is the casino.
Yeah.
It's right there and right by the stadiums. And with gambling and whatever.
It's pretty much the same way.
I'm just, you know, so it's amazing that that seems like a marriage that should happen.
Well, and the other thing that's happening here is, you know, we have 25 hotels under construction or planned right now.
Wow.
And the downtown convention center is expanding. You know, and put on top of that what we call bourbonism, so bourbon tourism. People go to Napa for wine. They're now coming to Louisville and Kentucky for bourbon tourism. 1.4 million visitors to the Bourbon Trail last year.
Wow.
24 million tourist visits. So, I mean, we're like really escalating. So that whole thing, more and more people be coming to the city, which means they need more and more things to do.
Yes.
And it's maybe not for everybody, but let's offer it out there so we can bring more revenue into the state. But you guys are doing a great job.
We appreciate it. All right, before you go, 5 seconds, who's your pick? You got a pick for the Derby?
I'm going to go with our local guys. Of course, Dale Romans, great local guy. J. Boy Zecco and McCracken, you got to like him, local trainer, too.
All right, well, thanks for stopping on by, Mr.
Right,
Mayor. We appreciate it.
Care.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
Mayor Greg Fisher here, kind enough
Happy
to take
Derby.
Some time out here this morning and chat with us and, you know, relive the proclamation of last year of Billy Reid Day. So another good conversation about
what a great guy.
Yeah, yes. Very personable
interesting
back here.
To see the difference, though, between his thinking about the casino gambling and the governor's thinking.
Yeah.
He touched on it, but I'll ask you guys. Who makes that decision to put a casino downtown?
The legislature has to enable the
they got
to
change the law, basically,
has the
right?
enabling legislation. But what we have here in Kentucky, Brandon, a lot of the rural counties, very right-wing, religious, that sort of thing, have moral issues about it. I have no problem with that, but just as we do with drinking, we have dry counties and wet counties. So why can't we have gambling counties and not gambling counties?
But I assume, and tell me if the local option, this you still have to change the law to enable the local option, right?
Yeah, But then what would happen would be the city would put it out for bids, I guess. And Harrah's, and I'm sure every big casino outfit in the world would bid, Churchill Downs would bid. They want to have casino. That the renovation over there,
yeah,
that was built with casino gambling in mind. So they would bid. We'd get a lot of money off that. And think of the money from around the world that's in town this week.
Oh.
Arab oil sheiks. I mean, people
that's
from
why
Europe. And
I'm amazed that there isn't one. What killed me about Pittsburgh was I go to the Pirates game with a player that my best friend represents. After the game, we go to the casino, sit down playing blackjack. They were playing the Mariners. In walks Felix Hernandez, 9 Mariners players. We're all in the VIP pit playing blackjack. So here's all these Major League Baseball players in the casino after the game, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm looking around going, this is a cash cow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it
with
is.
Churchill Downs Derby betting on horses, it just seems, and you touched on it, Drew, a marriage that should happen.
Yeah, but you're trying to get people in the state of Kentucky to be progressive. That's a problem. All right, we have to step aside for break. We'll come back here. 267-9680, our number to hop on in. If you want to text into that UPS Jobs text line, you can do it. Worldwide has been ignoring you all week. We won't let him ignore you today. We'll get some of those in there as well here this morning. Now, don't forget, if you're in the market for a roof, if something's happened to your roof, you had some rain, we're going to have some rain, give Carlin Roofing and Sheet Metal a call. 458-9898 is their number. Online at carlinroofs.com. Around since 1984 with that family name on the business, the A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Whether it's your commercial roof, your residential roof, they're going to take care of you. You know, right down to those commercial roofs like Liquor Barn, Jason's Deli, Dr. Pepper Plant, or your house. Give them a call. 458-9898. Online at carlinroofs.com. And let me hear us talk about them here on the Diener Show.
You're listening to the Diener Show podcast. Check out Drew weekdays from 7 until 10 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Welcome back to the Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Billy Reed.
And Brandon Lang. We're three wide this morning in the formation here. And that music, I assume, is for May the 4th. May the 4th be with you both.
May the 4th.
Today's May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you both.
Yes, you're exactly right.
I never saw the last one. Did you see the last
one?
What
do you mean you didn't see the last one?
I didn't see the last
one. You're raising children. You should be teaching them all about. What are you doing? You're playing Words with Friends while we're on the air. What is wrong with you?
I'm addicted.
So wait, you didn't see Rogue One?
No.
Okay, but you saw.
Yes, I've seen everything up to Rogue One.
Okay.
Not that far behind.
Okay, all right. I'm a little.
So
yeah, but you got to get on that. It's unacceptable.
I will.
So it's not. All right, stop playing with words with friends.
All right,
you're totally addicted. I can look at it
right
now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right. We are out here. We just had Mayor Greg Fisher on, and he was just talking about bourbonism as a term. And the folks from Kentucky Peerless Distillery are here with us. Cordell, Haley, and her other Haley, and Tara. It's like, what was the show? Daryl, my other brother Daryl. It's Haley, the other Haley. Terry.
Newhart Show.
That's right. Yes, the Bob
well,
Newhart
Show. Those three girls kind of look like they should be on a sitcom. They have that, you know, sisterhood look to them.
Yes.
It'd be a good little and we don't have any reality TV out there about a brewery or a distillery. We don't have anything out there. I think that'd be fascinating.
You guys up for a reality show?
We'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
You should, because it's a side. I'm always fascinated by new businesses.
Oh, yeah.
It's a side to me. You had said something that you're showcasing in 1989, or I talk about
it. Yeah, so 1889 actually is the founding of Peerless.
Yep.
The great-grandson of Henry Craver is actually reviving this brand. It has not been produced in 100 years.
That's what I'm saying. I'm fascinated by it. Yeah.
Phenomenal story. Ties to the Palmer House, one of the most famous hotels in Chicago. He actually owned it one time.
Wow.
He was one of five medicinal producers during Prohibition. So it's a phenomenal brand.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So how long did you've got May 20th. You've got the rye coming out. Tell everybody what's coming out here, because we're doing
the
our show there. That
bottle sales will start that morning at 10 a.m. and go till 5 p.m. You can actually reserve your bottle online and then purchase in person at the store.
So how long does it take to make the product? I mean, how?
So the rye's 2 years.
2 years,
so we did it the old-fashioned way. We didn't buy it on contract.
Yeah.
Made every drop ourselves.
You didn't buy any spill over from another one, yeah.
Maybe a little spillage on that first day at the barrels, but
yeah.
We enjoyed it with breakfast, so it was good.
Yeah, that's a way to go. Why do you think bourbon has caught on the way it has? We've known about bourbon in this state forever. Why has the rest of the world caught on to it?
I think people really embrace the authenticity of it. You know, there's a story behind it. There's heritage, there's family, there's a legacy. And Corky, our founder, really, really grew up with that. So he felt a true need to revive that family legacy.
Yeah.
So it hasn't. So you said. So what you're cooking up, if you will, 18 what? Eight. So did you just find this recipe and go, hey, let's fire this one up?
So they had all the documentation going back to the founding of the brand and of the company. Yeah.
Amazing.
And
I like that medicinal purposes during Prohibition.
give me
some more of that cough syrup.
We even have old prescriptions. So you have old prescriptions.
Do you really?
They're documented of our product being prescribed to people during that time period. So it's a phenomenal. We actually found a Prohibition-era bottle about a month ago and paid an undisclosed sum for that bottle that's still sealed in the original box, verified our product.
Wow.
Now, the distillery, what else is going to be? It's tours, and right? I mean, what all sort of things?
Yeah, so we have a tour and tasting room,
and
that's open Wednesday through Saturday year-round.
Okay.
We do tours there.
And what's the website? Let's get it out there for folks.
KentuckyPeerless.com.
That's a good name for it, KentuckyPeerless.com.
And where is it located?
10th and Main. So we're kind of on the edge of downtown and kind of the entrance to Portland.
Yeah. Okay, great.
All right. Well, hey, Cordell, thanks for stopping by.
And thanks for having us.
Look forward to being out there on the 19th.
Thanks so much.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Do you have anything?
Billy's we need an emergency bourbon over here.
We need some
medicine.
Yes, you know, emergency medicinal bourbon.
I'm surprised we don't have any alcohol.
Don't
here
worry,
yet.
Our friends over at Woodford Reserve, they got stuff on the way.
But,
don't worry.
You know, they you know,
it takes 2 years. You know,
I mean, I'm saying next year, fire it up. And let's, you know,
do shots, huh?
Whatever we're doing,
hair of the dog. Yeah,
that's really interesting what y'all are doing, though. Good luck.
It really is. I'm fascinated by that. That's fantastic.
All right, we will we'll continue along here on the backside, and yeah, we'll definitely get something this morning for Brandon. You know, our friends, various places will stop by with it.
We start early in L.A. You know, Hollywood. We start early. Never stops. Yeah, I'm looking at these girls remind me of sitcom Friends. No, 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 no.
We can fire up the song if need be.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
It's nice right now. It is. It's not. We're not freezing our butt off.
No, no. Brandon was dressing like he was going out to hunt for in the middle of winter for food.
Oh my God, we were death.
So yeah, it was a little different scene last year. So
we weren't dressed right. We hadn't slept but an hour. We were still drunk.
And Worldwide made sure to make that promo and play it about 8 million times. That was about the most played promo, I think, that we had in the history of the show, I think. It would be fair to say. Oh, Furniture John is on the line with us, our co-sponsor of last night's fine dinner at Porcini. So, Furniture John, don't, if you tell too many stories, we're going to have to pull the plug on you.
No, no stories. Good morning, Mr. Lang. How are you?
Buddy. The wife, the Bloody Mary, I could use one right now.
Well, you know, I dang near came out this morning, but thought, no, I'm not doing it.
Can't do it.
I'm going for treatment today. You know how you break a rib when you cough too much? I've got two from laughing. The left side ribs are just fractured.
Yeah, the hole in one, you know, we can't bring up too much golf. Nope. Drew's going to vomit golf stories.
Yeah, yeah. If you guys start talking golf, I'm hanging out. Like, I'm turning the show off.
We will not.
I'm turning the equipment off. I am going to be Ted Stryker and the guy next to him and stab myself with a samurai sword.
So I can go home early if that happens?
Yes. Well, if we start telling golf stories, I am breaking the equipment.
But Furniture John did get two of my best ones last night.
Yeah, when you bailed on us last night, Drew, and I drove Brandon home,
yes.
I dropped him off at your house. He did ask me, though, to call in today and ask you to handicap the U.S. Open this summer.
I'm actually turning the equipment off.
I don't go after
you. I did it. I turned this off the air. Goodbye. Goodbye. No, you're gone. Get out. No golf stories. I legitimately just turned off the equipment.
No, that dinner was great, though.
It was.
That steak, the halibut was unbelievable off the page. John, thank you so much again.
He's gone. I told you.
Okay, well,
he's
still listening. So, John, thank you very much. Yeah. Absolutely great evening. Great meeting you. Great hanging with you. Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, we'll do it. We just won't tell as many golf stories.
And I'm really glad you guys all had a good time.
Billy, I think you're.
And now everybody knows. And now
I think
we can break it down bite by bite the way they were breaking down shot by shot various holes across the nation. Because let me tell you how exciting that was.
Billy, I will say this. I'm still enamored with the city of Louisville and how you're treated and how the people are. And so any chance I get to say what a great time I've had in this city, I will not hesitate to do that. It's become one of my favorite cities to hang out in the country, and I say that.
I think the mayor ought to. We ought to send him a tape of these endorsements.
That's right.
These could be great
ambassador Brandon Lang, the ambassador. Let's get you to ambassadorship.
Well,
you're like that guy. You're like that guy that who wanted to come to Louisville so badly that they had to drag him off that United Airlines plane, right?
Unbelievable. Don't even go,
really,
man.
He really wanted to come. Man. He was coming. He was not going to take no for an answer.
Lord have him, but don't even go there. That was terrible. Glad that's kind of faded away.
We'll have said person on. Darren Rogers was very good to us yesterday. We were back there in the press box talking to him and your friend Jim Gluckson, who was just up here from the Breeders' Cup. Yeah, so we were talking with him yesterday. And so, yeah, Brandon's been telling his stories. Brandon's been on tour. He's like a wind-up doll. Like, tell me a story, man. Tell me a story. And boom, then he goes.
Drew sets me up. He tees it up for me, and then I just go. But, you know, Darren paid me a huge compliment, Billy. He said that I thanked him for the pass. And I go, you know, this is – and he goes, listen, he goes – when you talk about your Kentucky Derby experience on the air as much as I do with Drew, he says that advertising endorsement for us is priceless. He goes, and you do it from such a genuine place.
Yeah.
He said, you can't pay for something like that. He says, I'm glad to do it. Because it is sincere and genuine being here for my second year, and it's still like my first year. And you've lived this, and it's unbelievable.
All right, we will continue along here just a little bit from the backside of Churchill Downs. It's the Diener Show, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680.